Golf Smarter Premium number 538, published on May 3, 2016. You are a much better golfer than you think. And that's why we've invited back Jim Vanettis.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Jim.
Hey, Fred.
It is great to have you on the show again. It's been too long. Not that long, but it's been too long.
I missed you.
Yeah, I missed you too, buddy. Well, you know, we can take a look at the what our program guide is, and we can see where we've seen, you know, where we've been recently. And then we look back, and you had that great stretch back in October of last year where we had you on every week. And we just loved following you through those four shows and learning so much about your swing method and your teaching method. How are things going?
Things are good. You know, just more of the same. Just teaching people how to stay still, watching people improve, watching other people that might choose to go different paths. And, you know, it's just the way that it is. So how's your game?
Well, it's been infrequent. I mean, last year I was able to play a couple times a week, and now, like when I started talking to you, I had just injured myself, and so I couldn't play. And then I injured another part of my body and was struggling to play. And now I'm battling with sciatica. So I'm trying to play twice. I know this has been a real bad one, but I've been trying to play twice a month. Where last year I was playing twice a week. So my game is inconsistent. I can definitely feel like those times where I'm, you know, if I would have been playing more, I would have been hitting the ball better. And when I play twice in a week, I play better on the second round. It just happens. So I
heard about a golf swing that's good for lower back issue.
Oh, really? Nut stack and tilt.
Nut stack and tilt. No, it's another swing that focuses on pre-positioning the movements for the swing and the setup, and then maintaining stillness during the swing.
That's yours.
You don't stress the spine.
That's yours.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's do this. I did work on your method for a while. I did. And the thing that didn't resonate with me was I felt off balance, and I felt, not only did I feel a little awkward, it looked awkward, and that made it difficult. I mean, just, you know, it just didn't look or feel right. And again, it was inconsistent. I may not have given it enough time. I wish I could have given it more, but I just didn't feel right doing it. And that's, do you get that kind of feedback of people you're starting to work with?
Well, of course. And it's because the swing is so different.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
one of the things I always say is, if your feelings were correct, you wouldn't need my help. Mm-hmm. So whatever your feelings are, you need to put them aside, because feelings lie to you all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like Dwight Howard would play better with the Lakers. It was just a feeling, though. It wasn't a reality. So in the case of the golf swing, I think what makes people feel so comfortable, which is to do the traditional swing, is the thing that makes people struggle with the game, because the traditional swing puts them in a position that is very difficult to strike the ball.
Right.
So although it feels different, you know, we all used to feel like the world was flat, and we used to feel like computers were cumbersome and kind of, you know, too far-fetched. But our feelings change and adapt, and that's called like evolution or progression. And so with the golf swing, yes, it looks very different. But I got to tell you, when I look at somebody that stands in a traditional swing, the traditional setup position, mm-hmm. because I understand that the way that the body moves isn't something that happens during the swing. It's predetermined by how you start. That's why a sprinter, when he starts at the line, is in a preset position to explode off of the line. Mm-hmm. It's why an archer draws back the bow and takes his time to hold the position to then release the bow and cause the action to occur. how the body stands should indicate what it's going to do. In the traditional swing, the body stands where everything's level. There's no obvious thing that's about to occur. In the swing that I teach, what's obvious? Your body's closed, so your swing path is going to be inside out. What else is obvious? Your weight's on your front foot. Well, that's going to control your contact and allow you to have a descending blow. So how you stand, although it may seem odd, it may feel different, awkward, unbalanced, whatever it is, those are all just feelings. What you're actually doing is you're pre-setting the movements for the swing with a very logical setting of the body. It's a very geometrical thing that you're doing with the anatomy in order to create the action that you're about to produce. You know, when Steph Curry stands at the free throw line to shoot a free throw, he doesn't stand like this. He stands in a position so that he can shoot the basketball. It's a preset position. Shaq, when he used to shoot free throws, stood at the free throw line like this. So his hands would cross and he'd corkscrew balls and he wouldn't make free throws. How you preset your movements is all in the setup position for anything that you do. Football, baseball, basketball, it all aligns, and same with golf. But in golf, we're all clung to this traditional point of view of standing where the shoulders are level and the hips are level and the weight is equal, 50-50. Well, that's great, but what is that going to do for your swing? What is that going to make the movements occur in your swing? What will that force? Whereas when you stand like how I teach, it's obvious. Oh, this guy's looking to have his weight on his front foot, and he's looking for an inside-out swing path. Well, this guy is a good golfer. That's all. So it looks odd.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But like I said, you know, feelings change. We all have, I think, a bunch of you in the 30s, I think smoking was good for you.
Yeah, right.
You know,
hey, feeling. 10 years from now, no one's going to be driving a car. It's all going to be self-driving cars, right?
Right.
And that's going to feel really weird when you get behind the wheel and you're not touching it.
So what we have, like in any technology, we have early adopters, right?
Either one I think works well.
Yeah. People that take it on and embrace it early. And we have people that are still looking for flip phones, you know, happy to have a flip phone, which is great. It is what it is. But I see that in students too, you know, because to choose to do my method is very much like a smartphone. It's very advanced technology. It's definitely different, but it works. And all my students that have gotten through it would be able to have a conversation with you, which would be like, I know exactly what you're feeling. I felt the same way. I felt like my buddy was watching me swing and it made me feel awkward. But you know what? I have a clarity now that tells me that I was correct in choosing to do that. And the clarity comes from the quality of shot that you hit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as we were just looking over real quickly, the long list of episodes of Golf Smarter that we've had, it indicates to you how much input that I get from a variety of teachers. So it's probably the worst thing in the world for any golf student to be listening to so many golf teachers, because I'm just overwhelmed with the amount of information that I have. So there's bits from every single teacher that I've had that's in my head, which is terrible, and I know this. But when I come back to your swing, I definitely have, like I do with all these teachers, I definitely have incorporated bits and pieces. So I
don't do that. Swing so different from traditional theory.
Yeah.
I made a video that says the worst thing you could do is try and apply traditional theory with this. Because traditional theory is about movements, and it's about the right side of the body, and it's about firing and releasing. My swing is about stillness, the left side of the body, and it's about not firing, not releasing. So it's a very different action. So when I don't think it's smart to incorporate, you know, too many recipes when you're making the same recipe in any type of thing. You know, pick one and commit to it, whatever that is. And I think in your position, you can, you know, like what you may learn from me is something that may provide some clarity into why people struggle with the swing. Like last night, when I asked your friend that was the other guy that was on Blab with us.
Yeah.
And I said, your icon had disappeared. So, and all I could do was chat. So I typed in, because he says, he pretended he was you, and he welcomed everybody to the show. And he says, I'm hosting the Golf Smarter podcast tonight. And so I said, hey, why do I slice? And so he then embraced the question, was like, why do you slice? Ah, well, you know, and he kind of got deep and philosophical with it. And it was all about this weird thing that happens just before the ball. And it's, you know, and it couldn't be further from the truth. And that's like something I ask all your viewers right now. Ask yourself, why do you slice? You know, this is the thing that plagues every golfer in an abundance. This is not, I'm not stretching it to say that. So why do you slice? And take a few seconds right now to answer that question in your head. And then I will do my best to provide you with a very simple resolution for why you slice. And then it all comes back to understanding how the body moves and how the body can influence the golf swing. So why do you slice? Because your swing path travels from the outside to the in. And when you realize that your shoulders control your swing path, then all you need to do is preset your shoulders closed so that your swing path is always inside out. If your swing path is always inside out, the ball cannot slice. An inside out swing path immediately produces a draw or a hook. So at that point, you've eliminated your slice. So whatever nuances in ideas that most people would have answered to that question, which would be like, oh, you know, I got nervous, or I got quick from the top of the swing, or my hands got away from my body. I didn't release properly. I was focused in the wrong thing. It all comes down to one simple thing: swing path. Swing path is what makes a good golfer good, and it's what makes a bad golfer terrible. Good swing path, which is inside out swing path, produces the most power, the least amount of spin, the most penetrating ball flight, and it works with the natural movements of the body. Think about it. When you swing outside in, the club is swinging into your body. That means it's coming closer to you with every inch that it passes. It means that it could hit you if you did it poorly enough. The club's coming at you. We don't work. When you swing a baseball bat, you don't swing it at you. When you swing a tennis racket, you don't swing it at you. You swing it away from you, inside out. It's how we swing every tool, every implement. If you're using a knife or a sword, we work away from ourselves. That's how the body works. So to swing outside in, not only does it produce the worst swing path, but it hurts yourself. It literally, you are attacking yourself. And in consequently, you can hurt your body, but you also hit really bad shots. So when it comes down to swing path, once you have an inside-out swing path, nothing else matters.
Right.
When you set your wrists, when you set your hands, your rhythm, your tempo, your timing, Nick Price swung with a very quick cadence. It was a very quick swing. It was a great golfer, great ball striker. So speed, cadence, rhythm, doesn't matter. It's your swing path. And then it's your point of the bottom of your arc, where your point of your weight is, that controls everything in your swing. So as you hear so much input, I'm right there with you. I'm like a student with you to the game, always have been. I listen to what everybody says about the swing in the game and instruction. And it just, to me, it's like, well, you know, you can talk about all these nuances that are all these individual experiences, or you can just get down to the facts. We need an inside out swing path. We need a descending blow. What could you do to create that? As soon as you create that, you're now the best golfer in your group. Without a doubt.
Okay, so first of all, I want to address the concept of helping my back. So I'm dealing with sciatica, which is a condition that I've had for decades. So I don't know if this is going to help that.
I've had two, so I know what it feels like to swing with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. But it really isolates your body. It's hard to move. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's hard to move, then the swing that I teach is perfect for not moving. Because that makes you better when you don't move.
I was, go so many places. So, but I was, and I must have been doing it wrong, but after I would work on your swing at the driving range, my back was hurting. And I think I'm just off balance. I could not figure, the shoulders were not right. Something was up. I just didn't feel in balance. And that's what I was having a problem with.
And that's the progression of learning anything. You have a learning curve when you're learning anything in life, mm-hmm. if it's how to broadcast or how to play ping pong. You know, there's a learning curve that goes on, and in that learning curve, you weed out the mistakes. Obviously, if it's not working, it's because you're doing something wrong. If it hurts, you're doing something wrong.
Sure.
So you weed that out, and you start narrowing up to a point where you're in the channel, on the track for what this action produces. So that's part of the process. I mean, think about it. You're a right dominant player, and I'm asking you to play with your left side. So there's going to be some combating that goes on, and that combating could cause physical discomfort. And that's why the communication between you and me is like really important. We say, hey, my back's hurting. What am I doing wrong? And then as your Sherpa, continue to guide you up the pathway. If at that point you decide, it's not right for me, well, then I don't get that opportunity to help guide you through that point in the learning curve, which is, you know, that's part of being an instructor. You know, I do my very best. I guide people along the way. It's a lead a horse to water thing. You know, I know the water is good. I know the water is the fountain of youth, but can't make you drink it, but I can tell you that and always, you know, provide you with a clear path to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you talk about the facts are, right, the inside out swing path is going to produce, yep, inside out. No. Inside out, right? Correct?
Inside swing path will produce the most power because it's coming in at the widest path. It's what produces a draw. It's the thing when they tell every golfer swing out to 1 o'clock and they can't do it. It's the reason why, you know, traditional golf would want you to have an inside out swing path. That's the irony to what I teach.
Right.
Traditional golf, if you were to ask them, do you want an inside out swing path? They'd say yes. Do you want a descending blow? They'd say yes. Okay, cool. Well, this swing presets all that. It just looks different.
Yeah. So, but also the facts are, I think, and this is, I'm trying not to be rude here, but you're the only one teaching this.
That's actually not very true.
Oh, good. Please.
You know who else taught this type of ideology? Bobby Jones.
Really?
If you go back.
But he didn't implement it, did he? I mean, his swing does not look like your swing.
I have a great video on Power Chalk where I compare his swing to my swing. Mm-hmm. He's playing in 1933, 1920s, 30s, 40s. So he's playing with hickory shafted clubs and gutta percha balls. The ball, this is not advanced equipment. He's very much analog with his equipment. And so he had a lot of movement, yes, but it was all through the left side of his body. It was all about inside out swing path. He would tell you he hit a draw. As soon as the guy says he hits a draw, you know he's working on an inside out swing path. Mm-hmm. He has many videos where he talks about how important it is to keep his left side in dominant control of the swing throughout the golf swing, and how he wanted to keep his right hand out of the swing. He has videos where he specifically says he wanted to remove his right hand from the swing until well after impact. So he actually did teach, and this is something when people, you know, before I had any content online, people would say, who else is teaching this? What other videos can I watch? And I'd say, sure, watch Bobby Jones videos. And they'd laugh because they're so old and they're charming and they're wonderful videos. I think they're fantastically entertaining. But the content he was teaching, he speaks a lot of the same idea of using your forward side and using an inside out swing path and descending down through the ball. So, you know, yeah, there's not a lot of other people that teach this, but I also think I'm sorry, popular golf instruction, but you're the reason why the average golfer is poor. You know, what everybody is learning is too difficult for them to implement. The average golfer tries hard to be good. He buys the equipment, he watches the videos, he reads the content, he watches the TV, he dreams about it, he wishes he was that good.
He listens to podcasts. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? the average golfer sucks.
Yes, I mean, it's just true.
And that's, you know, it is, just is what it is. But if the average golfer's relative skill was playing basketball, he wouldn't, forget about shooting, he wouldn't be able to dribble. That's how bad the average golfer is. You know, they struggle with the game. They cannot execute consistent shots one after the other. So when I look at that, I think it's not your fault. It's not your fault, average golfer. The problem is the traditional golf instruction is far too difficult to execute. And I know that from my own personal experience of trying to execute it. It's too hard. Too many things are going on. Rhythm, tempo, and timing is intangible and nothing that you can count on from day to day. And that is, it's evident on the PGA Tour. Jordan Spieth is awesome. He's awesome. Tiger Woods is awesome. Great golfers. Why do they ever have moments, Rory McIlroy, why do they ever have moments where they swing so drastically in their skill level, going from dominating a tournament and shooting subpar rounds on the most difficult golf courses to all of a sudden being normal and making big numbers and shooting high numbers and high scores? You know, that tells you.
That's
golf. It's not like all of a sudden that's golf, but that's ridiculous. You know, it's not like all of a sudden Michael Jordan just starts chucking up a air ball. Doesn't start chucking up air balls. I mean, they always play within a relative amount of skill. What you permit for, you say that's golf, that's too wide of a range of skill. You know, Jack Nicklaus was a much narrower wide of margin for error. He did not fluctuate as much as a lot of these guys did, which is why he was so great. Jack Nicklaus played out of his left side. Everything he did was he was closed. You know, he had all his weight on his forward foot at impact. A lot of movement, yes, but also you're dealing with older equipment there. So to use your left side, yeah, nobody else is teaching this, but maybe if some of, you know, more people were teaching this, I think you'd have a lot better results, because I get such great results from my students.
Yes, and you that's, do. And we're going to, in a little bit, we're going to show a video of one of your students giving a testimonial, and a well-known student that we've all seen in TVs and movies. So we'll do that in a little bit. But, you know, like when I was starting to say that I've incorporated what you've taught me and showed me, and that is keeping my weight a little more towards my front foot. The issue that I'm having, though, is getting in position where it feels like my back is to the target, that I'm completely closed on my stance, right? So that I'm almost, my body, my shoulders are perpendicular to my target as opposed to parallel to my target.
How about 45 degree angle to your target?
Okay.
That's where I'm professing.
Okay. So, but from. You're still really closed, but if
very
you're...
Close. Yes. It's not to the extent of being 90 degrees, but 45 degree angle, so mm-hmm. that you can have an inside out swing path. That's all it's protecting against.
And
that
is the primary goal, is to get that inside out swing path, which will give you draw and more power and more distance.
It gives you the draw, the more power, the more distance. It gives you less negative effect on your body. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, your shoulders, the way your arm works, like how you throw a frisbee, my arm works this way. It works inside out. It doesn't work this way into myself.
Well, and so, actually, it's not supposed to be that way either, right? It's a baseball throw.
Baseball throw is not correct. I think the arm should work underhand. And yeah. So like a softball throw is the correct way to pitch a ball. But we're able to manipulate our body and do this, even though it destroys the shoulder, right? So pitchers can do that, and they can throw the ball very hard. But that's misusing the body. So when I talk about the swing, sure, I see in the traditional golf swing that they ask you to misuse the body. They tell you to rotate your shoulders around your spine. Spine doesn't rotate. So to rotate your shoulders around a lower body that's a constant is just going to create spine issue. So how they ask you to use the body is actually against how the body is meant to be used. This here, what I'm asking you to do, is exactly how your left arm wants to work. So your left arm wants to swing inside out. It's anatomically sound as well as dynamically sound relative to the game.
Oh, Jimmy. You get into my head. you'd clearly get into my head every time because you just make such a passionate plea for what you're doing, and it makes so much sense to me. And then when I try to repeat it to someone, they're like, what are you talking about?
Listen.
And then when it says, oh, that's Stack and Tilt, right? No, it's Jim Venetta.
Stack and Tilt loads the left but hits with the right. So at that point, it's nothing like what I'm teaching. They also teach movements. So they're teaching movements and they're trying to combine left and right. Mm-hmm. Nothing like me. I load the left and only the left strikes the ball, and that's just how it is. It's isolated. It's a center axis point swing. It's the logic that kills you. Yes, it's different. Yes, it's uncomfortable. But I tell you, yes, it's the future for the game because it's easy to do. I see golfers that shouldn't be able to hit high quality shots, high quality shots from this position. It literally advances you to the head of the class so that you can hit the ball like a pro. Mm-hmm. And it's easy. All you have to do is stay still.
Take a minute right now and show this Richard Schiff video and talking about the success that he's had using your golf swing. Can we do that?
Sure.
Okay, here comes.
I actually shot a 76 after two lessons with Jim. Broke my record, which was 77. Hadn't been under 80. I've only been under 80 three times, so those 77s were 3 years ago. And shot 38-38 very consistently with two doubles, one on each side. So I had three birdies, two that I chipped in because of this effective chipping. And I'm still not a very good putter, so I missed maybe four or five birdie putts and made one. Jim is about accepting, teaching you why it's so easy to accept. With his way of teaching, you know if the ball flares right, why? Whereas before, you had no idea, like, what am I doing? That's all of a sudden make me scull the ball 45 degrees to the right. Setting your position and letting it go. It's all set up instead of set up, you know, turn, rhythm, timing, hip turn, keep the club square, you know, release. You know, all of that falls into place. What Jim is teaching me already, if I never see him again, will have improved my golf game for the rest of my life. What he teaches you is repeatable, and what he teaches you, even psychologically and in your mind, is something you can use and something that works. That's a healer in the truest sense of the word. A doctor who doesn't want to see you is a real doctor. A golf teacher who says, go play, call me in 7 years, tell me how you've done. That's a real golf teacher.
Okay. So Richard had some really wonderful things to say about you, and he even said that he had a couple chip-ins. In looking at one of your recent videos, and you're talking about, I love the one about lobbing over trouble. That was phenomenal. But between that one and then your one with chipping with the 8-iron, right? Getting close to the pin, chipping up, you know, just off the green. You were in a traditional stance both of those times. Your back, you were not closed as you generally teach.
Yeah. So in the short game, the ball doesn't draw. So I'm not as closed as I'm going to be for the full swing because the ball isn't turning 4 or 5 yards from right to left. Mm-hmm. If I'm just hitting a bump and run or a pitch, it's a very direct flight. I mean, I suppose you could see a slight turn from right to left, but it would be a fractional turn.
Yeah.
So I'm not as close relative to my line of play. But my swing path is still inside out. My shoulders are still closed. My hips are still closed. You know, everything's still the same idea. It's just it's a microcosm. So everything has been reduced. But that's not... you know, what's cool about this swing is you don't have to look exactly like me. You just have to be closed and have your weight on your front foot. If you're closed and you have your weight on your front foot in any combination, you know, 51% weight with your shoulders at a slightly closed angle, you're going to hit a good shot. If you have your shoulders more closed, you're in a safer position. If you have more weight on your front foot, you're in a safer position. But just as long as your weight's on your front foot and your shoulders are closed, you're going to hit a good shot. people make this swing all the time without even realizing that they're making it. It's like when you're trying to hit a three-quarter pitching wedge, so you're not going to move too much weight. You're kind of making the swing a little bit like a punch shot. Well, that kind of helps to get you into more of a left-sided position. And all of a sudden, you smoke it over the green, and you say, I only hit a three-quarter pitching wedge, and it went farther than my pitching wedge does when I hit it full. How many times do your golfers say that?
Yep.
And then they just go, well, that's golf. To me, no. That means something much more than that. When you're making your full pitching wedge swing, you're over-swinging. You're bypassing a full swing, and you're going too far to the point where the swing is losing power. It's just like in a video game when they have the power band. You don't want to go too far, because if you do, you start bringing in other intangibles. So when you make that three-quarter swing, I say to you, maybe your three-quarter swing is your full swing. And if you embrace the idea of stillness, you realize that the swing I teach is a much smaller swing, but it creates huge power. So it's like, what's going on there? Well, what's going on there is we're not breaching the boundaries of what the full swing should be. We're not over swinging. The traditional swing asks you to over swing, and then they ask you to balance that over swinging through rhythm, tempo, timing, and focus. That's hard. It's hard.
A lot of conversation on losing power and losing distance is casting, right? When you're going out too soon, and then, you know, so you want to bring it down, bring your hands down, and then release a lot lower. Is that just a natural thing that comes with your swing, or is that something you don't agree with?
It's more obvious than that. Check it out. So show us all what casting looks like again.
So let's see if I can back up here a little bit.
Well, you get right where you're at was plenty of room.
So on your backswing, you go out and here, yeah, as opposed to
tell me,
right?
Right. So tell me, what did you do when you casted? What physically happened? Your right wrist released, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, your right wrist pops the club out. So when you make a right dominant swing, you're going to cast. It's what your right hand does.
Mm-hmm.
If you make a left dominant swing, you won't cast because your right hand isn't given the command to engage the downswing. You know, casting just is what a right dominant swing does. Then they ask you to deal with it. When you get in your left side, there's never a point where there's anything and any communication between your minds. You know, and the club. Well, that causes people to then, because they're trying to do whatever they were told to do in the swing tip or in the magazine article. I saw Jim Colbert. Remember Jim Colbert?
Mm-hmm.
Senior tour pro, super cool, right? Great pro, did the, you know, Mr. Cool Guy stuff. He gave a seminar at Wilshire Country Club that I thought was so brilliant. He says, look, I'm going to tell you right now, you guys do, and he's talking to the general public, you guys do everything that you try to do, every tip that you read, you do it. Not only do you try to do it, but you do it. And that's why you're bad. He says you're actually executing exactly what is being told of you. And there are more nuances that go on in the swing than just that. So when somebody, and I see it all the time, like with, I've had so many students that actually do exactly what they are told by the instructors, and it makes them worse. And I think people understand this because they'll take lessons and they get worse. And they don't understand why. It's because they're actually coordinated enough to do what they're being told to do. It's just that what you're being told to do isn't what a pro does. It's some instructor defining the movements of the swing. That's it. That's all they're doing. If they were defining the movements of the swing so that they could be popularly done, then people would be better golfers. But instead, golf instruction defines the movements for the swing. They say the club goes here. Now the club goes here. Now the club goes there. I tell you how to do it. If you just set your body right here and you keep your weight in one position, the club's going to go here. Then the club's going to go there. And the club's going to go there. And it's going to do all the things that you want it to do without you having to tell it to do it. Because you've already tried to tell it to do it. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work in any sport or any game. You know, imagine trying to shoot a free throw and saying, okay, elbow under my wrist. Now raise elbow. Now flex fingers. Now released hand. I mean, they're so complicated what the golf swing asks of you to do. It's like, no wonder it's hard.
Yeah. The hardest.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be. That's why this is called You're a Better Golfer Than You Think You Are.
Well, that's what I was going to just say, is that I think that Colbert's, you know, his explanation really addresses what we were calling the show today, which is you're a better golfer than you think.
Yes. Stop trying to do all the ridiculous movements, especially if they don't make any sense. What I provide is something that is based in logic. You want an inside out swing path? Stand with your body closed. You want to hit a descending strike? Stand with your weight on your front foot. That's it. If you can't answer, and this is how I came about this, I would ask professionals, why? My instructors, why? Why do you want me to do that? They'd say, do this, this, this. Why, I'd say. And they couldn't give me like logical explanation. Well, because this will make your swing path better. Or, well, because this will improve your contact because of the way that the club is going to descend through the ball. Never got that. And this is from some of the best instructors. They just tell you to do it. And when you ask them why, if they can't answer in a logical way, don't do it. Work off of logic. This is a formed ideology. You want the function of a tight, solid draw and consistency? Well, then don't move and stand in a closed position. Come on, right? Now, look, I don't mean to sway you back, and that is not my intention. I don't want a student if he's not committed, and that's okay. It's fine with me. But I'm going to speak passionately about it because I understand something that's very clear. You know, I've gone through traditional instruction. I watch it all the time, hoping for somebody to say something that's on point. Oh, you said nobody else is teaching this. You know, there is one very sweet lady in India named Karen Kinwar who teaches the minimalist golf swing. And I tell you, I've had lessons from some of the best students. I've watched every video out there. I'm impressed with her ability to use logic in a way to explain the golf swing, and it's a minimalist swing. She's working off of a preset also. It's within kind of the same, you know, we'd definitely be in the same room, in the same ocean of swing methodology. So she's cool. She's got a very entertaining way of presenting her swing, and it's, I think, from a very different perspective. You know, I played professional golf. I was driven to play at the highest level. So I have a very much of a player's point of view. She has a different point of view, I think, on it. But her methodology is, I think, much more sound than most golf instruction out there.
Can we find her online?
Oh, yeah. Minimalist Golf Swing Karen Kinwar. I think it's K-I-N-W-A-R. And she just has a few videos online, but I tell you, you know, I watch every bit of content that I can find looking for, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know, hoping that somebody else is seeing the golf swing the same way that I do. And sure enough, I was pleasantly surprised when I found her video.
I bet you are, and I will track her down. Maybe we can get her on the show.
That'd yeah, be cool.
Really interesting to talk to her as well.
Sure.
So tell me what's going on lately at on your website, jimvenettisgolfacademy.com, correct?
Yeah, just producing more content and helping golfers getting better. You know, the school's been live now for 2.5 years, and I'm starting to have my first, this whole past 10 months has been filled with a bunch of graduates. See, like any good institution, I don't expect you to need me for the rest of your golf life.
Well, that's what Richard Schiff was saying, yeah.
Sure. You know, I graduate students. This is all about creating autonomy for you. You got to be able to do this without me. And so I tell my students all the time, if I die tomorrow, just read your ball flight and make the adjustments in the setup, focus on stillness, and you'll be fine. It'll guide you to where you have to get to. So I have a bunch of students now that have been graduated. You know, they've reached the point where they've far surpassed their goals. And to me, I don't want them to continue to pay to be in the school, but I want to keep them in the community. So I graduate them and they become lifetime members of the school. So that way they're in the community as alumni and they can still participate, but they really don't need me anymore because they got it.
I'm going to keep working on it. Oh, I got to get back. Well, once I'm feeling better and I got to get out to the range, I'm just going to try it again. I'll send you video. I'll definitely send you video.
The more you and I interact, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And good solid, like I told you the first time, give me a good solid couple months. And, you know, you got hurt and we kind of worked through that. And then you kind of disconnected over New Year's. You said you're really busy. That's understandable. But if you really go intense boot camp with me, I'll get you through it and you'll be up and running and you won't need me.
Mm. Well, also the beautiful thing is we had rain in Northern California, which prevented a lot of golf for a couple of months. Thank goodness. Now, I wasn't complaining about that.
Hey, you a Warriors fan?
Am I a Warriors fan? Well, we're going to talk about that after we finish this recording because I had some basketball questions for you, too. So, yeah. So anyway, Jim, thank you so much for coming back on Golf Smarter. We love having you on. We love when your community gets to listen to a conversation with you like this, because I know that I get a lot of reaction, a lot of feedback from your students when you're on the show, and I really appreciate that.
I love being on. I love seeing you and talking to you.
Not sure what it is about this guy that I enjoy so much, but his passion and conviction for this method is enough to have me sitting on the edge of his chair in rapt attention, which I do every time he's on. Will I try to go back and incorporate it into my swing? Sure, I'm willing to give it another try. He makes a lot of sense. At least he makes it make a lot of sense. Anyway, if you've been a longtime listener to this podcast, you may remember us having discussions early on about golf course layouts and why we have to either choose 9 holes or 18 holes. When time commitment is such an important factor in our lives right now, wouldn't it be great if we could choose to play 6 holes, 12 holes, or 18 holes? Think about it. Just go out and play 90 minutes. Or 2.5 hours, or just getting in a full round on your favorite golf course. Well, that's available when you belong to a private club, but what about the rest of us? Up next, we're going to talk to Mark Siegel of GolfAsia.com, who will introduce us to the Nikanti Golf Club in Thailand. Here's what it says on their website. Nikanti Golf Club challenges the ordinary and sets a new standard in style and substance in golf in Thailand. Set in beautiful surroundings on the outskirts of Bangkok, Nikanti offers a unique and memorable golf and leisure experience. I'm intrigued. I hope you are too. But if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please let me know. Click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.